6th Kingsport Beverage Board meeting to order. Ms. Marshall, if you would please call roll call.
Okay. Chair LaHare?
Here.
Mr. Forrester?
Here.
Mr. McKinley?
Here.
Vice Chair Salyer?
Here.
Mr. Woods?
Here.
Mr. Weems?
Here.
Mr. Cox?
Here.
Deputy Chief Phipps?
Here.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Marshall. So I'll read the statement. First statement is a determination by the board that meeting electronically or prohibiting the physical presence of the public at the meeting is necessary to protect public health, safety, and welfare of all concerned in light of COVID-19 virus. We will continue to follow the governor's orders and work with the state as far as what they recommend for meeting. We are obviously going to be meeting in person today, and this meeting is available through Zoom. All of y'all should have received a packet last week, which would have included the September business meeting minutes. I hope that y'all have had an opportunity to review those. If you have not, I will give you a moment to review those minutes. Once you have done so, I'd entertain a motion and a second to approve those minutes.
You have to get a verbal confirmation on the meeting electronically.
Every vote will require a roll call vote. That is correct.
No, I mean, the statement that you just read, we have to get before we can move past that.
Roll call there too, though.
Yes. So are we ready for that? We are affirming that you agree with the determination to have an electronic meeting.
Make sure they say their name before they vote, too.
So, and please say your name before you vote, those joining by Zoom. So, Chair LaHare?
Yay.
Confirm. Mr. Forrester?
Mike Forrester, yes.
Mr. McKinley?
John McKinley, affirm.
Vice Chair Salyer?
Mr.
Woods?
I affirm.
Mr. Weems?
I affirm.
Mr. Cox?
I affirm.
And Deputy Chief Phipps?
I affirm.
Okay.
Excellent. Okay, now that has been taken care of, we will now move on to approval of minutes.
Yeah.
As Ms. Marshall stated, and Mr. Billingsley, we'll have to state our names prior to our vote each time.
Mr. Chairman, on the minutes, I see one item that needs to be corrected. It shows that I attended last meeting via Zoom.
Okay, I know that. I don't know what happened. Sorry. I'll fix it.
I made such an impression you didn't know I was in the room.
You were here? Of course you were. Okay.
You can keep that. Okay, so we have one change to the minutes. Any further discussion in regards to the minutes?
What happened? What did I do there? Was he here too? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Looks like we have also one additional change.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, fine. That was Ms. Chico?
No, the chief was here last week in person, not on Zoom.
Yeah, I don't know. Copy and paste. It can be your best friend or your worst enemy. Okay. So,
Ms. Marshall, if you please call roll.
Need a motion and a second.
Yes. We need a motion.
I'll make sure.
Yes, sir. So you're on the motion that we approve the minutes as modified.
Second.
Okay. So can you hear us, those via Zoom?
We can hear Angie. Steve, we can barely hear you.
Steve, it may be because both of you have volume on in the room. It may be easier for us to listen to Angie's volume if you stay on the video.
Actually, I turned my audio off.
His audio is off. I think it's the masks.
Oh, okay. It should be on when you talk.
It's the mask.
Hers should be off. Is she responsive?
Okay, so I turned my audio on. That might help. Then we have audio both in the room.
Yeah, that's much better. Yeah.
Okay, so we have a motion from Vice Chair Salyer, and we have a second from Mr. Forrester. Is Is that correct?
Correct. Yes.
Marshall, please call the roll call.
Okay. Mr. Forrester?
Yes.
Mr. McKinley?
Yes.
Yes.
Vice Chair Salyer?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Yes.
With me. Mr. Weems?
Yes.
Mr. Cox?
Yes.
Deputy Chief Fitz?
Yes.
Chair LaHare?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. One more vote, so.
Okay. We will now move on to the review of applications. We currently have one application for new permit. Doggin Corporation LLC. This is an off-premise permit for Dollar General. And we have the representative. Would you please come to the front of the room? Ms. Chico is going to swear you in.
Come right here in front of this clock so that they can see you on here. Okay. Raise your right hand. Do you want her name first?
Yes, please raise your name and your physical address.
Agnes Barrow.
And your physical address?
It's 112 Flannery Street, Kingsport, Tennessee.
Thank you. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give before the Kingsport Beverage Board is the truth and the whole truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Ms. Barrow, so for the sake of Zoom, you want to just stay where you're at?
Okay.
This is a change in a representative from the organization. Could you please state your position with...
I'm a manager of Dollar General.
Okay. And it's in this location, 21499?
Yes, sir.
1429 Rock Springs Road?
You what?
Yes, sir.
The video was going to hear the echo, too. Okay. So I'm going to move the speakers right.
So in reviewing the information, we've looked at the fact that Dollar General does operate, obviously, across the country and throughout the state of Tennessee. You have over 300 locations that are trunk and selling for off-premise.
I'm sorry, I'm just trying to figure out, the only way to take this echo out, because everybody that's watching that and is hearing it too, is for you to mute, or I'm going to have to move the speakers to your device.
Okay.
Can you turn your volume down?
Mine's completely
Well, then I might as well unplug the speakers.
Oh.
Okay, so I left. I'll just have to speak really loud.
Okay.
So I apologize. Technical difficulties come to play in just about everything we do nowadays.
Yeah, it's fine.
So, you are the general manager of this location, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, as far as, this is a new construction, a new build for y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's right.
Can you please tell me how you all intend on the policies and procedures that you will have in place for selling beer?
Well, when we sell beer, we ID everybody.
Okay. When you say you ID everyone, is that a requirement for your POS system?
Yes.
Input a date of birth?
Date of birth, yes.
Should we pause him again?
Hang on just a second.
The hours in which your location will be operating?
Okay. We operate from 8 to 10.
Okay. And that is?
7 days a week.
7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're aware of the restrictions in which you can sell, the time restrictions that you can sell?
Yes, sir. It's on Sundays it's after 12.
Had you previously worked in a location that did sell beer?
Yes.
Okay.
A lot of them.
It seems like there's a Dollar General on almost every corner nowadays.
Yes, sir, they are.
So, as far as displaying the beer, will you have the ability to lock the coolers, or will you have times stated on those coolers that they can't purchase beer before?
Yes. We don't lock them, but we do put a paper on there on Sundays. You can't purchase after 12.
Excellent. Further questions from the board? You may have to repeat that, Andrew. I don't know if they can hear me.
Do you have any further questions?
Questions?
You have one? Go ahead. I thought somebody said they had one. Okay, they didn't.
Actually, I just had one real quick. Looking at the attachment, the four suspensions, were any of those in this region?
We're looking.
Beer license suspensions, were any of those local?
No.
Okay. All right. Just checking. I was just interested, really.
Okay. So, Aaron, no further questions. So we have a motion and a second.
This is Vice Chair Salyer. I'll make a motion that we approve.
I'll second.
And we have a motion and a second.
Okay.
As far as application, everything is complete aside from the change in the name?
Yes.
Zoning?
Appropriate.
Legal?
Everything's fine.
Chief?
No issues.
No issues? So we have a motion and a second. We will have to have a roll call vote.
Okay.
I'll ask one more time, any further discussion in this matter? Okay, hearing no further questions or discussion, Ms. Marshall, if you please call for roll call.
Okay. Mr. Forrester?
Approve the motion. Yes.
Mr. McKinley?
Yes.
Vice Chair Salyer?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Aye.
Mr. Weems?
Aye.
Mr. Cox?
Aye.
Deputy Chief Phipps?
Yes.
Chair LaHare?
Aye. Motion carries. You will be able to come by tomorrow afternoon and pick up your permit. We appreciate your investment in Kingsport, and we hope that you do very well down there in Rock Springs.
Oh, we do too.
Okay, we do. It's a very clean store. I was in there the other day.
Yes, I just come to my office tomorrow to get the...
Okay.
Very nice.
Thank y'all.
Thank you. Okay. No further applications, so we'll move on to unfinished business. We'll receive an investigation report on Boogie Moe's from our city attorney, both Mr. Billingsley and Mr. Rowlett. Would that be correct?
Yeah, it is. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, I have in front of me a writing that I'm required to provide, so I apologize to those who are electronically attending. But there is a copy here for you, and I will pass this out at this time. I want to go over briefly what I've done and Mr. Rowlett has done relative to the review, which I'm required to do by the board's rules. And I don't know if they can they hear me okay, Andy?
Can you hear Mr. Billingsley? Do you want to come sit here?
Yeah. Okay. Let me write.
He's going to come here.
No, I don't think so. And Ms. Malcott asked if they could receive a copy of this.
If there's one available. For those who are attending by Zoom, the rules require me to provide this report to the board. I have, my office has reviewed 15 incident reports from the police department, 23 CAD calls with no report taken. Those are computer-aided dispatch calls. Audio tapes of the beverage board meetings at times in which Boogie Moe's was discussed. I won't go through all the dates, but there are several meetings there. Interview of two residents who live or lived in the area across Center Street near Boogie Moe's, and a business owner. Audio tapes from Central Dispatch related to calls pertaining to Boogie Moe's, and web pages with information about Boogie Moe's that we could find on the internet, primarily through Facebook or just Google. Most of the complaints made about Boogie Moe's concerned loud voices or noises coming from the parking lot and noise from motorcycles leaving the business at night or early morning hours. Most of the calls that required assistance were in the evening hours and early morning hours, which makes sense because that's when the business is generally open. In reviewing the police reports, 15 of them, and the central dispatch calls, 17 from outside callers,
between September 18, 2018 and August 2020. I noted the police response, and most of the calls were made in a timely fashion. There were a couple that there were no officers in the area, and dispatch advised that and asked for extra patrol from the police department. The dispatch did. In responding to the noise complaints and motorcycle sounds, the officers usually noted that by the time they got there, whatever was occurring had passed. And so they were not able to verify those calls in terms of seeing or hearing the items itself. In fact, in one of the reports, the officer said it was a loud music complaint that he rode by with his windows down. Wasn't able to hear anything at all on Center Street. Three reports and one call did not appear to directly relate to the operation of Boogie Mo's. Three of those reports involved with a Mr. Gibson, and those included he was apparently sleeping out behind the business one time. He had come from a West Side Inn or somewhere else to Boogie Mo's, and they were talking about whether he'd been assaulted or not, not at Boogie Mo's, but at somewhere else. And the third one involved Mr. Gibson, apparently, who was the individual when they called on someone in the business when the business was closed. I assume this is during the COVID time, that he was the individual who represented himself as being an employee of the organization, and he was there for security purposes. And in fact, one of the employees of Boogie Mo's at one of those calls vouched for Mr. Gibson and said that they knew him and were aware of him. So those three calls don't really relate to the operation of the business. So the other call related to a Mr. Stump, I think that was his name. That had to do with the fact that Mr. Stump allegedly had been, according to the caller, it was not Mr. Stump, that someone had threatened Mr. Stump the night before somewhere else, unrelated to Boogie Mo's. And that individual was supposedly parked across the street from Boogie Mo's, ostensibly waiting for Mr. Stump to come out. And so that the police were sent on that particular call. So those four calls don't seem to relate directly to the operation of the business. There was one additional report that may not directly relate to the operation of the business. That involved an unnamed individual who was dropped off at Boogie Mo's by taxi and supposedly had been assaulted. I took it from the report somewhere else. The police went to talk to the individual, and he denied being assaulted, and there was no evidence that he was assaulted. And then there was one report that was noted. It was a pickup truck doing burnouts in the parking lot, which was made as a result of a call from the business, in other words, from Boogie Mo's complaining about that, and that was on July 14, 2020. That's an interesting date because there were two reports and one call, all that occurred on that date. One call was made at 22:31, which is 10:30 p.m., with the officer responding 3 minutes later to allegations that included that a female was being held hostage in a bathroom, which, among other things, turned out not to be true. None of the allegations were true. And in fact, the officer spoke to the female who said that her boyfriend was jealous because she played pool with somebody else and she was not assaulted or held hostage or anything. The other report that day was taken a few minutes or a little bit later at 12:21:59. And that call was by a woman caller claiming drugs were sold at Boogie Mo's and that her daughter was at Boogie Mo's but would not come home. It was an adult daughter, by the way. And then the other report was in response to a call at 23:45, which is 11:45 p.m., with the officer responding 4 minutes later to the pickup doing the burnouts in the parking lot. So those calls all came in close in time, but it's not clear as to whether any of those calls are related are connected in some way, but they may all be part of the one event. In 2017, June, Mr. Ramey, the owner of Boogie Mo's, appeared before the Beverage Board and noted, among other things, that he did not plan to have any bands or loud music, that he said he wanted to rule the place with an iron fist, that he would not put up with revving motorcycles, he wanted to respect his neighbors, he would not have an organized bike night, and he knows that Harleys are loud, and that he was not opening a biker bar, that he understood the noise motorcycles makes, and he knows Harleys are loud. I've said that twice. I probably should have taken that sentence out. Currently, Boogie Mo's is and appears to have been for some time operating outside its established operating hours. The operating hours for the business are set out in the application for a permit filed with the Beverage Board, which was 10 a.m. to 2 a.m. Monday through Saturday and 12 p.m. noon to 12 a.m. on Sunday. No changes in those hours has ever been provided to the Secretary of the Beverage Board. I checked to make sure. However, on December 18, 2017, according to the Facebook post that we found, the hours posted on Facebook at that time, as I understand the way Facebook worked, was Monday to Saturday. There was no opening time, but they were open till 3 a.m., and on Sunday they were open 5 p.m. to 12 p.m. This is different than the hours they have provided the board. It appears that their current operating hours are 5 p.m. to 3 a.m., Tuesday through Sunday, and the business is closed on Monday. That's the last I could find. Additionally, Mr. Ramey mentioned to a police officer responding to a call on May 15, 2020 at 3:23 a.m. that he was still open due to a pool tournament running late. So he was outside the operating hours, I guess, that he would normally operate on that day. And just to let you know that he recognized that he was open later than he should have been. Section 6217A of the Kingsport City Code says this: every person issued a permit under this division shall establish regular hours of operation, and such hours shall be submitted to the Secretary of the Beverage Board in writing and should be posted in the establishment at all times. No change of operational hours will be permitted without submitting the hours in writing to the Secretary of the Board, and any deviation from those hours could be cause for suspension or revocation of the permit. And then I'm required to make a recommendation. The failure of the permit holder to report the hours of operation to the Secretary of the Board is a violation of the ordinance and can result in the suspension or revocation of the permit after a show cause hearing. I recommend including the nature of that violation and the need to correct it in whatever discussion or communication takes place with the owner following this meeting. Additionally, there have been complaints from neighbors pertaining to the noise, whether it's vehicle noise or voices. This should be addressed with the owner in a way that conveys the immediate need for some meaningful adjustment in the operation of the business so that it does not interfere with the neighboring property's peaceful enjoyment of their property. The owner recognized this need when he appeared before the Beverage Board in 2017 to obtain the permit, so he should be willing to cooperate. The failure to do so could, after a proper hearing, result in the revocation of the permit. The discussion could take place with the board chairman and the chief of police and the owner upon approval of such by the board, and the board chairman would then report back to the board at the next Beverage Board meeting. Alternatively, the board could request the presence of the owner at the next Beverage Board meeting to discuss the matter with the entire board without the need for a show cause hearing. This creates a record of discussion between the board and the owner. Both methods have been used by the board in the past for similar type situations. That concludes my report, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, gentlemen, for providing the documentation. Questions from the board for our city attorney in regards to Boogie Mo's and them operating and how they have been operating? And I don't know if they can hear me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. LaHare asked if there were any questions for me on how they're, would you say, how they're operating?
How they have been operating. How they are currently operating and have been operating.
I do have, as Vice Chair Sal here, I do have one question for you. So, I don't know if this is really covered in any of the regulations, but when he came before us and said he wasn't going to have live music and he wasn't going to have bike nights and all those things, and we know that he's had live music. I personally know that he's had live bands there because I know some folks that play in the bands. But is that anywhere in, is there any stipulation of basically the way he says he's going to operate his business other than the hours that he's failed to comply with that, or is that just basically a recommendation and there's not really anything we can enforce?
Well, those kind of things, I guess, can change over a course of time. I carefully reviewed twice, though, that tape, because my paralegal also said that he said he didn't plan on having live music, I think is what what he actually said.
That's a key word there.
I think so. And so, but I'm not aware that he's had a biker night. He does have pool tournaments. He does advertise those. And I know that because on the Facebook photographs that we found online, I presumably put up by Boogie Mo's, I don't know, it's on their Facebook page, there's a sign and some signs about pool tournaments. So I think from time to time they have pool tournaments. I think he's even admitted that to the police before. Because when he first appeared in the Beverage Board in 2017, he planned on having darts and pool. And the pictures, I've never been inside the business, but the pictures I found, or my staff found online, it looks like there's at least three pool tables in the establishment, as I can tell. So those kind of things are probably ebb and flow, but the hours, every business that has a permit is required to provide the hours. And I'm not saying other businesses aren't also doing the same, and I could understand maybe during the COVID situation where that might have got to slip somebody's mind, but apparently this has been going on, or at least back in late 2017.
Okay, and I just found an advertisement in the Loafer from back in 2019 advertising Vance Fight Night at Mookie Mo's.
Okay.
So anyway, I'm not trying to cause any instigating issues. It's just it's in a publication.
Now,
they may say we didn't put that in the publication, someone else did, but it is in a periodical that they're advertising
bike time.
Okay.
Well, they have in the past.
Okay, so it seemed that outside of the posted hours or the hours that were given to us, they are having live bands, they are having bike rallies, and the live bands and the bike rallies, while I don't see that as something that would fall under our purview, it is something that is going against what he stated he was going to do initially. Further questions from the board?
Sorry, I didn't catch that one.
I have a question. This is John McKinley. Mr. Billingsley. You had two recommendations. I understood the last one.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't quite get everything on the first one. Would you mind summarizing that, please?
Sure. In times past, a procedure some boards have chosen is to ask the board chairman, which in this case is Mr. LaHare, and the chief of police to go out to speak to the owner and explain to them the concerns that the board has and that has been expressed to the board by other individuals, and then report back to the board on the cooperation from Mr. Ramey or lack of cooperation from Mr. Ramey. The other, that is done somewhere outside of this meeting, presumably either at the police department or at the business or somewhere else. Then they would issue a report back to the board, and the board would decide what to do at that point. The other one is to invite Mr. Ramey to come in to address these issues with the board directly, and understanding the seriousness of him and what he's, ask him to tell us what steps he plans on taking, or at least ask him to advise us within a short period of time what steps he plans on taking to remedy that situation. He did say, as I recall, in the 2017 meeting that he planned to have somebody at the parking lot from time to time. I don't think he said always, but he did. And I don't know whether that's been done or not. I have no idea. I'm not even sure what that means. I mean, I took it to mean that somebody would occasionally, every night, go through the parking lot and make sure everything is okay. Frankly, most of the stuff, almost all the calls, deal with things outside the business. In other words, taking place outside the business, not inside the business. And so, especially as relative to the neighbors. And even most of the police calls deal with things that are outside the business. I mean, they may be on the premises, but they're on the outside. So there isn't really a lot of, other than this lady being, or other than accusing them of holding this lady hostage in the bathroom, which turned out not to be true, apparently her boyfriend called that in, according to her. There isn't a lot of stuff going on inside the business that the police have been called for. I'm not saying there's stuff going on, but there's not that the police have been called for. So presumably what you really want to address is the conduct of the patrons outside on the outside of the business.
So The legal department has put forth...
I'm sorry?
Excuse me, John McKinley again. Is that the manager's responsibility for the actions of his clients on the premises?
Certainly is. Yes. And when you're a permit holder, you have responsibility to make sure your clients on the outside, on your property anyway, don't create a health hazard, hazardous health and safety. Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Billingsley, Mike Forrester. I don't know if this speech addressed to you, Mike, or to the chair, but if we had asked Mr. Rainey to come in to a board meeting for opportunity to present questions and let him explain to us what he is and is not doing, would that be at the next regularly scheduled meeting, or would we need a specially called board of board meeting in order to sit and hear that? No, it won't be in the format of a show cause hearing, but it'll be a more of an investigative measure. Would that just be the next regularly scheduled monthly meeting?
That'd be up to the board. That's up to the board members. Did you hear what he said, Mr. Chairman? Okay. In my view, that's up to the board members, you know.
And that's where I was going with that. The legal department has put forward two recommendations, and I think we need to discuss both options individually, and then maybe collectively we may explore doing both options. So can we have discussion in regards to that?
He, Mr. Chairman's just asked, I don't know if you're going to hear him, he's asked that we have discussion about the two options that I put forth. Is that correct, Mr. Chairman?
Correct.
That's correct. Angie, you want to sit here, Angie? Back here.
They have got questions for me.
Yeah, they have questions. Should be Do we have any discussion, or does anybody have any further questions for Mr. Billingsley in regards to Boogie Mows?
Well, this is Vice Chair Salazar again, Mr. Billingsley. The fact that we've had members of the public, the homeowners in the area, I recall at least two different occasions they came in, different individuals who live in the community, to complain. We have an obligation to the city, and the city is the residents. If a business is operating in a capacity where there's issues with the community, is that our responsibility to have him come in for a show cause just so we've got it documented from a responsibility standpoint as a governing board over mere permits that we're doing the appropriate actions or due diligence to make sure that we're addressing the needs of our citizens. I mean, just having him come in and having to talk to, even though it'll be in the notes of the minutes from the meeting, is that effective, or should we go ahead and just do a show cause? That way we've got it on the record.
Well, the reason I made the recommendations were two reasons. Number one, that's how we've dealt with these kind of situations a lot of times in the past, and sometimes they're effective and sometimes they're not. The other reason is that my understanding is, although Mr. Rowlett interviewed the neighbors, that the neighbors, when he were asked about it, they got the impression that that would be satisfactory to the neighbors if Mr. Ramey came in to speak and was talked to, and that would see if we could curtail any more problems that are out there. It's up to the board, but that's how they've done it. That's how they did it with
Gypsy Cider,
and that seemed to work out. It didn't work out so well with Hog Wild. It did for a while, and then a couple of them don't pay any attention to it at all. So it's happened with some. It hasn't happened with others, Mr. Sauer.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. You may want to redefine the process for a show cause hearing just so that the board members may understand the significance of that.
Yeah, Mr. Rowlett asked me if I would redefine or define the show cause hearing. What that is that's a hearing where you actually put on proof, just like a trial. We'd have to have the members of the police department present to testify. We'd have to have the members of the public present to testify. Mr. Ramey would be entitled to counsel. His counsel would be entitled to cross-examine. He would also be entitled to put on proof, and the board would have to make a decision not based on what you've heard already, not based on what I've said today or what Mr. any of the neighbors have said in the past, but based on what you heard in that hearing to make a decision about whether or not the permit should be suspended temporarily or should be revoked. And only after that due process can you take that action, and then have to be some basis for it, obviously. And that's so that's the process for show cause. And that would probably end up being a special set meeting, because generally these things last several hours, or can last several hours.
So with the this is Chairman here, with the evidence that we've been given today for a show cause hearing from the legal side, the legal department, do you feel like we have enough to pursue a show cause hearing?
Well, I think you have enough on the question of hours, but I would say that I'm sure there are other people out of compliance with that too, and you know, you try to treat people fairly. I mean, in terms of that kind of infraction, there's no question that's an infraction. And the ordinance specifically allows you to suspend them for a period of time or revoke the permit, which is pretty drastic. The revocation is a pretty drastic matter. As far as the complaints, it'd just be a matter of us presenting the proof and letting the board decide whether or not there's proof. What you have is, and here's part of the problem with the proof, and I don't want to talk too much about it, because frankly these are generally done in attorney-client privilege situations. It's just unfortunately that I've got a public board and I don't have the opportunity to meet with you in privately you know, to talk about strategy, but we certainly would work on it. There's a little bit of evidence in the tapes about what happened, but those are just people calling in saying what happened. And then when the officer goes out and says that he doesn't see it or she doesn't see it, it's not like they're verifying what happened. And they're not saying that it didn't happen. They're just saying they're not verifying what happened. You know, that's where some of the proof is, frankly. It's not surprising that they're gone, because frankly, when they are there on a motorcycle or whatever, I can't speak about talking out in the parking lot, they're probably coming or going. They're probably not hanging around just in the parking lot for 15 minutes or 10 minutes. So even if a police officer arrives 5 minutes later, they're probably gone. Now, having said that, and there have been, at least I think we saw one photograph on Facebook or somewhere online. I assume it was taken at the business. It looks like it was. Whether it was taken during business hours or not, I don't know much about motorcycles. Mr. Rowlett's an expert at them. He says the one of those machines was straight piped, which means it didn't have a muffler on it at all, correct, Bart?
That was my interpretation of the photograph.
Okay, so that probably would be a pretty loud machine. When that happened, but that was a daylight. It was definitely taken during the day, so I don't know, but I don't know when. I don't know if it was taken any time in the relevant time frame. It's just online. I see those things. I mean, those would be things you could ask Mr. Ramey about. Certainly could ask him at the meeting that you had if you called him in. And they'd be things that we could address at the hearing. But I can't say that there's, other than the operating hours, that there's enough proof there that would sway the board to think that it's more likely than not that these issues happened.
In regards to operating hours, we approved the operating hours to begin with, obviously the outside of those operating hours. Do we have the ability to say set operating hours for a business?
No.
We cannot.
No. What the law says and what our ordinance says is that you can't sell beer after 3 a.m. and there can't be any beer present after 3:15 in the establishment. Other than in the coolers, not on the tables and stuff like that. So you can't come in at 3, like the police officer showed up at 3:23 a.m., they were still open. It would be a violation if some guy had a bottle of beer out there on the table, because that's beyond the time frame, even if he said, I operate 24 hours a day. The reason for the operating hours is so that the police, if they're inclined to enforce it, kind of have an idea of when They have it. In fact, I think one of those tapes, and I didn't document it, I seem to recall Central said something about, well, they're closed right now because that's not, they're not supposed to be open right now. And so the idea is that this arose years ago in a situation far away from Boogie Mo's, but another place that was a pain, frankly. And one day they'd be open till 5 a.m., the next day they'd be closed at midnight, and so it's like, no, we need to know when you're open so that police can monitor this if they need to. And so that's the idea behind it. Frankly, if I'm my way, that all shut by midnight, but I'm not, I don't make the law in Tennessee. But the sale of beer in Kingsport can go on until 3 a.m. It can in Knoxville, it can in Bristol, it goes in Johnson City. It's pretty much universal around the state. But we didn't pick his hours. He did, initially.
Okay, so we have two gentlemen in the audience today. Most of y'all know Mr. Keener Malico. And then, please, if you would, state your name again.
Yeah, no.
McCarty. Mr. McCarty? Okay. Mr. Malico, I believe you'd like to say something.
I would. You want to swear him in?
Well, do we need to swear him in? Absolutely. If you're going to say something before the board, sure. Please state your name and address.
Keener Malico, 420 Clay Street, Kingsport, 37660.
Mr. Malico, do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give before the Kingsport Beverage Board is the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
As the previous board member who initiated this investigation, I'd like to say a few things that I'd like to ask the board to consider when they're considering what they want to do with this. First of all, I remember when this permit holder got his permit in 2017, I personally warned him that he already had two strikes against him because of his location. As I recall, we had, this is the third permit holder down there. In the last one, I believe we were going to have a show cause hearing, and he just closed it down. But it's an unsuitable location for a bar such as this, because it is too close to the neighbors in that neighborhood. And the landlord knows that. I mean, with three permit holders, he knows that by now. There's something else here. Because this is the third permit holder down there, and there were abuses all the way through, these people in that neighborhood have lived with this for years. It's nothing new. They've lived with it for years. This man, Mr. McCarty, testified before this board that his life down there was tormented. And the other neighbor who testified said that it had gotten too much for him and he had moved away. He said, I'm going to another neighborhood. I'm selling my house. Those are pretty important things to consider here. In your earlier motion here, you approved not allowing the public to be here for these meetings. I would ask that some board member make a motion that this is a special case. I have a vested interest in it, and so does Mr. McCarty as a representative of that neighborhood. I'm not his lawyer, but I care about how we treat people. And I'll have to say, in the last meeting here, I heard a lot of talk about policy and procedure, but I did not hear one word from any board member about let's look out for the welfare of these people down here because they've been through hell. Nobody ever said one word about that. It was all policy and procedure. And Mike Billingsley, even during the Zoom meeting, he said the investigation should not have be based on hearsay. And these two people came in here and testified before this board, and I certainly wouldn't call that hearsay. So I think it's pretty overwhelming that they've used up all their leniency. I think it's time that the board does something about this. And it, as somebody said, as Mike Billingsley said, the police can't get there in time. The offenders are gone. And it goes on and on for the neighbor. So, if you would, I'd like, if there is a representative who feels that that would be a motion that they could make, I would ask that they make it so that I and a representative in that neighborhood could be present for this meeting.
Well, I believe what we're currently following is what state recommendations are, and our current Board of Health, our local Board of Health, they're following what the state's allowing. You called earlier today and I said I felt it would be appropriate if you were to come. I don't think that anybody is trying to alienize anyone. That's why the Zoom meeting is currently taking place. I believe that everybody in the room would love for everything to be opened back up and go right back to what it is. I think that there's some sense of safeguarding the people that are in the room and the community in regards to COVID, and that's a balance that we have to find. Up until recently, all these meetings were not in person. They were just Zoom meetings. That is something that can be explored. With that said, I think that we have to be mindful of our community and the public. We don't want somebody to sit in this room that might test positive for COVID and infect everyone else. I think that that's why we're trying to be mindful of that. In regards to Boogie Mo's, yes, they do operate, and they did have, as you stated when they first came here, two strikes against them. I would love to say that we could hold responsible anybody for their actions of a previous business, but we can't. That is something that we have to move forward on. Yes, the location is not ideal for that business in proximity to residents.
What can we as a city do then
to
make that? That's an unsuitable location.
And that's where I was going. So while you were speaking, I asked Mr. Williams, and to his knowledge, that property has been zoned for minimally 14 years for that type of business. That this would not fall under the beverage board, but from a zoning standpoint, I think that it could be approached to have it rezoned. Now, I do not believe, and Ken could probably speak much more knowledgeably about this, we cannot rezone a whole area. We cannot rezone just separate parcels. It would be an area. Is that correct?
Well, yeah. The Planning Commission could, on its own initiative, take action to rezone the property. However, rezoning it would not prevent the use of it. They could still continue that same use that they had prior to the rezoning occurring, if in fact it ever did actually get rezoned. So that wouldn't stop the use, the rezoning.
It may have been zoned for that for the last 14 years, but this man's lived there for 40 years.
Right.
He was there before that ever happened.
And I believe why the legal department is so adamant about the way we approach this is we don't want to put ourselves in a position where we theoretically could lose. I mean, and I know that sounds crazy, but they can present evidence and we can present evidence. And theoretically, they could present evidence that would outweigh. My recommendation would be that myself and the chief, and perhaps somebody from the legal department, was to go and visit Mr. Rainey, and at the same time, put him on their agenda, not for a show cause hearing, but to come before the full board, so that the full board may question him and advise him to what we are presently going to be doing. If there are no changes in that, I feel confident that a show cause hearing could take place. And at that show cause hearing, if there have been no changes, the board can make a determination to either suspend or revoke his license. Now, yes, I agree, this is something that has been discussed and gone on for a while now. This has taken place in other entities within the city of Kingsport, and we've been able to resolve those issues.
I'll say this. If this were on your street, or any other board member's street, you would be prompt to get something done about it. Because if you go to bed at night and you can't sleep through the night like these people can't, and if you even fear for your safety down there, you wouldn't tolerate it. And you've got them to think. You may have that permit holder who's got, he's already proven that he doesn't do what he said. You've not only got him to think of, but you've got these neighbors represented right here by Mr. McCarty.
And I believe that all of the board members do agree with that, and everybody that's represented. We want to make this both a good place to live and a good place to do business. Hopefully we can get all the parties to agree to that, and we can move forward. So I will pose a question to the board in regards to the Boogie Mo's matter.
Turn on your mic. Turn your mic on.
I'm going to have to dial back in. I'm sorry.
Oh. You want to come down here, Steve?
Yeah, I'm standing
at the
meeting.
Huh? Oh. You come down here.
So, once again, my recommendation to the board would be both factors that Mr. Rowlett and Mr. Billingsley have presented to us today, that myself, Chief of Police, and perhaps one of the people from the legal department, and I guess that'll have to be determined if the legal department can do that, were to go and speak to the permit holder, and then also request that they be at the November board meeting so that the full board can speak with that permit holder. And I will put that as a recommendation and a motion. Do I have a second?
Colonel, here, I have a question in regards to that.
Okay.
If you go to talk to them, and then Mr. Rainey comes in, and at that meeting, if Mr. Rainey can't answer our questions to satisfaction, do we still have to go to a show cause hearing, or can we move to remove, revoke, suspend his license in that meeting if he's unable to answer the questions to our satisfaction?
So legal has stated.
That may be a question for Mr.
Okay. So legal has stated yes, we would have to go to a show cause hearing. That would allow them, provide them time to seek counsel if they so desired to, and move forward with the matter.
Okay, thank you.
I have a question. John McKinley?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Malico, he's asked the board to recommend a show cause hearing. Is that what I'm understanding?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. So basically what we would be doing is we'd be speaking with the permit holder in a way that I do not believe we have in the past with any permit holder. And then reviewing how they respond. And then once again also having them come in. We'll have a few weeks in between speaking to them and having them come to the November board meeting. It would not be a show cause hearing, at the November board meeting, but they could inform us as to what actions they have taken to rectify this problem. If we don't feel that there has been adequate steps taken, at that time we could issue a show cause hearing.
This is Vice Chair Salyer again. I just want to make sure that we're doing the best thing we can for the citizens of the city. And I hate if the residents there have to go through more of this, but I would rather get this right by you having a discussion with them, bring it to the next meeting, and then if at that point we're not satisfied with his corrections, doing a show cause. That way we've done all our due diligence as a board and being responsible for taking care of beer permits and the citizens who support us as a board. We're appointed by to represent the citizens of the city of Kingsport. I would certainly like to jump on into a show cause hearing because we had a very frank discussion with him up front. But then that may be a little premature to jump in there and get in a situation where we've shown all our cards and we can't do anything to if we're not properly prepared. So I do at this point now agree with Chair LaHare that him and the chief or from a legal standpoint, whoever we deem from the city, go have that discussion and have them come in for the next meeting. And if we're not satisfied at that juncture, then we go for the show cause and have that as quickly as we can. And I know that would be before the December meeting. I think there's 15 days or something notice from that point. And that may be something after that discussion in the next meeting we could go ahead and vote if need be for the city attorney to initiate that process so we can get this remedied as soon as possible if we're not satisfied with any change that Mr. Rainey has made.
So is he seconding your motion?
Is that coming in the form as a second, Mr. Salyer?
That is a long-winded, I talk too much, yes, I'll second you.
Okay.
So we have a motion and a second. Mr. Forrester, did you want to say something?
No, what I was going to say is that's it.
Okay. Any further discussion from the board? Okay, so I'm going to ask Ms. Marshall to come up and call roll call vote in regards to this matter.
Okay, Mr. Forrester. Yes, sir.
Then I vote yes for the motion.
Okay. Mr. McKinley?
Yes.
Vice Chair Salyer?
Yes.
Mr. Woods?
Aye.
Mr. Weems?
Yes.
Mr. Cox?
Aye.
Deputy Chief Phipps?
Yes.
Chair LaHare?
Aye.
Okay, so motion carries. We will work on technology for next month if we're still Zooming. We have no further unfinished business, new business. Chief Phipps, if you would please review the arrest and incident reports from the previous month.
There is nothing to report on any business.
Okay. So if you all did not hear Chief Phipps, there is nothing to report. I will open it to the board once again. Is there any further discussion on any items that we have discussed today? Okay, hearing none. Thank you all very much. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. Before I adjourn, I apologize. I did not do this at the beginning of the meeting. Mr. Woods is here. So, Mr. Woods, if you would like to come around to the hut seat, I'd like to Mr. Woods to introduce himself, tell us a little bit about himself, and obviously how he came to be on the board. He was appointed by our current mayor. So, Mr. Woods, you have the floor.
All right. Hey, guys. I'm Cody Woods. Long-time Kingsport resident, born and raised here. I'm currently the East Tennessee director for a group called Marcy's Law for Tennessee. Formerly, I was employed with the Tennessee House of Representatives. I moved back here in November. Happy to be home from Nashville. It's definitely a good change, to say the least. But no, happy to serve my community in any way I can in the city of Kingsport.
Well, we're glad to have you here. Thank you very much. Obviously, we're throwing him into the fire, but that's the best way to come in, I guess. Most of the meetings are not like this. They're not quite as contentious. Moving forward, hopefully he shows up next month for the next meeting. But I wish all the rest of you all a good afternoon and a good week, and we will adjourn the October Beverage Board meeting at 2:34. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.